All right, it's great to see everyone here this evening. Not a better place in the world to be than right here together with God's people in his presence. I do see a few faces that couldn't make it out of their driveways this morning. So we're happy some of that snow melted and you're able to make it. I've got a couple visitors here. We want you to know that you're welcome. We're grateful for you. And it's encouragement to us. You made that decision to be here with us this evening. Just a couple things here real quick. Out there in the foyer, we've got the new calendar of events all the way up to June. So make sure you grab one of those and note all of the events, the activities, and add that to your calendar so you can participate in those as they approach. So grab one of those in the foyer. And our lesson this evening is another Lads to Leaders PowerPoint lesson. Lads to Leaders is going to be on us fast. April will be here like that, and we've done a handful of the Lads to Leaders PowerPoints. And if you don't know, especially visitors, I give the kids that are doing Lads to Leaders a rough outline of a lesson. And they create PowerPoints and or have their input in some of the main points and the subpoints, kind of depending on the age and what they're doing. And so we've got a few more to go. They all have to do two PowerPoints. After this, we got one more to finish the first round, and then we're going to do the second round of those lessons. And this evening's PowerPoint, Miss Olivia made this. She did a wonderful job, and you know, we need to make sure when we see them, I know they're all over in Kids Bible Hour, but either go over there and tell her what a great job she did, or when you see her again on Wednesday or next Sunday, just really encourage them. It's a big deal for them not only to take the time, but to get into making these PowerPoints, and I like to give them a lot of different Bible passages. And they get to reading them, and it really helps them. So they just make me really proud. And we want to encourage that and the work that they're doing with Lads to Leaders. Learned helplessness. And also, I forgot to mention, I'm trying to tie in these lessons with our new theme for the year from 2 Timothy 2, verse 21, Vessels of Honor. Hopefully we can see some of that those tie-in here for the remainder of these lessons here. So I had that in mind when I originally gave Olivia this outline to work on. Learned helplessness is a fellow by the name of Martin Seligman. 1967, he did an experiment basically shocking dogs, like shocking them with electricity. And if you want the whole story on it, you want the whole rundown, just Google it. Learned helplessness experiment. But the short of it is basically three different groups, and one group of dogs, they kept shocking just randomly. So much so that the dogs just kind of gave up. And it got to the point where even when the dogs had an opportunity to escape, they didn't. And so you get this psychiatric term called learned helplessness. Also, it's kind of the idea of having a victim's mindset, a victim's mentality. That no matter what you do, the circumstances run, they're just too tough, so why even try? And I think many times we can carry that over in a spiritual sense where we get and bear with me with the phrase here, spiritual learned helplessness. I've messed up so many times. I keep failing. I can't do this Christian thing right. I just keep messing up, and you know, why even try? And in that, we start separating ourselves more and more from God, from His Word, from our prayer lives, from God's people, gathering with the church for worship or study or fellowship, and you know, why even try? And so what I want us to see here in a very simple, very straightforward lesson, mainly from the book of Psalms. You can open your Bible there in Psalms. We're going to bounce around quite a bit there in Psalms. And I'll read a handful of verses outside, and we're going to have those on the screen also. But I want you to see, as we look at this here, you know, how how songs or psalms of praise go hand in hand with trusting God. That's the answer that we're going to see to spiritual learned helplessness. It's trusting in God. And you got to remember that trust is half of the equation of faith. Right? We learn in places like Romans chapter 4 what faith is by looking at Abraham. Right, and we get a definition basically of what faith is, and I know there's some more to it, but you know, if you strip it down, faith is trust and it's obedience coming together. Right, so trust is half of that equation, and so let's take a look at this. We got four main points in this lesson here. Let's look at the blessedness of trusting the Lord and taking what He's telling us. So that we can be more faithful, right? We're never going to be more faithful if we don't trust the Lord. We're going to get stuck in that spiritual learned helplessness. And so trust is key to all of this, you know, and God's response to our trust, right? His response to our trust, first of all, is determined in His blessings and His promises, Psalm 68, verse 19, and our hope is no more sure than the trust in God that causes us to live properly. You know, we either trust God or we don't. Right? It's an extension of the teaching of, you know, Matthew 6 and verse 24. You can't serve two masters. Love one, hate the other. Right? You either trust God or you don't. And if you actually trust God, you're going to obey God. You're going to fear God. You're going to keep His commandments. You're going to overcome that spiritual learned helplessness here. All right, so number one, trust involves listening to God. Trust involves listening to God. And before we read a handful of verses here in the Psalms, and I want to tie this into our theme for the year and what we talked about this morning, to be a vessel of honor. If you remember there in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, remember he gives us those seven metaphors, right? And this is all about kindling afresh, chapter 1. Our faith. Sometimes our faith dies out. The embers are about to die out, and we're called to kindle afresh the embers of our faith. Right? So therefore, kindle afresh that trust and that obedience, that faith. Right? He gives us those seven metaphors there, you know, a roadmap on how to do it. So if I trust God, I'm going to be that son. He talks about chapter 2, verse 1. And then I'm going to be like that soldier, that athlete, that farmer, that workman in verse 15, and then a vessel of honor, verse 21, and then a servant, right? So he's given us a playbook, if you will, to kindle afresh that trust and that obedience, that faith from chapter 1 and verse 6. So trust involves listening to God, and that lesson there that he teaches us in 2 Timothy, God is telling us something, right? Is your faith weak? Do you have a lack of trust? Are you learning that spiritual learned helplessness? Well, places like that, God is telling you what to do. You know, as any parent or wife knows, there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? And listen, you know, we're never going to trust God if we want to open up our ears and actually listen to what He's telling us. All right, so the question is, are we listening? You know, are we seeking His words to build that trust? So here's a handful of verses in Psalms. Psalm chapter 3 and verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Keep turning with me, chapter 18. We are, again, going to be bouncing around to see different psalms here. So chapter 18 and verse 30, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. Right? So the word of God, it's going to shield us. Right? But we got to listen to God to receive His word, to allow that to shield us. That takes trust. Another one, Psalm 30 and verses 5 and 6. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face when I was troubled. And if you will, take a note to read the remainder of that psalm there. And so what he's talking about is the blessedness of what God tells us. And I know technically he's about answering prayers, but that's one of the ways that God responds to us. Are we listening? Trust involves listening to God. One more here. Psalm 119, verse 42. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And in Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. So number one, trust involves listening to God. And God speaks to us today through his inspired word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, right? It's God breathed. And it gives us everything that we need. Right? 2 Peter 1 verse 3, God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He's speaking to us through his word. The question is, are we listening? And if we're not, maybe that's where our spiritual learned helplessness comes from. All right, number two, trust involves leaning upon God. Some translations will say lean, others are going to say trust. But the Hebrew word batak means to rely upon, to be confident in, to feel secure in. Psalm, the 18th chapter. You see, our walk of faith is not about self-sufficiency. You know, if you want spiritual learned helplessness, well, then go ahead and think that somehow you can do it all on your own. And I think that's where we struggle. I struggle with this. All right, here's the issue. Here's a problem. Sean can handle that. And I fail to completely rely upon God, to lean on him, and try to use my own human wisdom to figure out the problem and find the answer to it. So the answer is not self-sufficiency. We can't, right? No one can do it on their own. And that's why the Lord's given us the best support system ever. So here in chapter 18, in verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Turn over to chapter 20, verse 7. Chapter 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Right? Some people, when there's issues, when there's an actual a fear that arises, they trust in their own resources. We just simply can't do it on our own. We're gonna fail every time. Psalm, the 44th chapter. Psalm chapter 44 and verse 6. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. Chapter 56 and verse 3. Psalm 56 and verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, right? That's that understanding of God is my shield, right? He's my protection. And I'm going to turn over those fears, that anxiety, that worry. I'm going to turn it over to God. One more, Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, sometimes when things aren't going the way that we want them to go, our answer is, well, my salvation's in Washington, D.C., right? If we can just get this politician elected, all my problems are going to be solved. And we know better than that, or we ought to know better than that. Why not turn that trust over to God? Start leaning upon God. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah's everlasting strength. And Proverbs 29, and I love Olivia's, the way she helped us understand this passage here. She did a great job. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. Right? So we got to start leaning on God. Trust involves listening to God, and number two, trust involves leaning upon God. And then number three, trust involves lifting up God. Now here's one that's very important for us. You know, it's all about lifting up God in worship and praise, right? And worship, if you don't know, worship is about praise and adoration to God, right? In the manner that he prescribes, right? So I have this salvation in Christ, and I get together with my church family on the first day of the week and singing, for example. My heart is overflowing. My cup runs over with praise and adoration for God, for him saving me and all these blessings that I have in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3, Ephesians 1 verse 7. You can't stop me from singing praises to God. It's overflowing. Right? And so singing, for example, is one of those ways that I lift up God, I praise God, I adore God in song. And so trust involves lifting up God in worship, in proper worship. A couple examples here, Psalm 4. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Psalm 40. Verses 1 through 3, Psalm 40, 1 through 3, one of my favorite psalms. Right? And if you really think about it, it's very encouraging. Right? So here's David. Now, we don't know what this pit was. Maybe it was after he acknowledged his sin of adultery, being involved in conspiracy to murder. You know, maybe that was a pit. We don't know. Maybe it was when Saul was trying to kill him and he's hiding in a cave. Whatever that pit was, is a very dark, deep pit. So he says in verse 1, Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. So he couldn't have got out of that pit on his own. Right? It's slippery, it's miry in there. Listen, he's painting a picture here. Right? So you put yourself in a pit, it's muddy. There's no way you're getting out, but God made a foundation for him to step out of that. And so here's his response to that in verse 3. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Right? Trust involves lifting up God in praise and worship, right? And if you were in that pit of sin and despair, God allowed you to come up, your response is, I'm going to praise God. And one of the wonderful things about that is others are going to see that, and they're going to be drawn to God. So trust involves lifting up God. Isaiah 12 and verse 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust or lean upon him and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 4. Very interesting passage here. He says, do not trust in the deceptive words, or in deceptive words, and say, now three times here, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. In other words, what Jeremiah is doing here is he's warning God's people about trusting in false hope. Right? Because hope, real hope, confident expectation, can only be found in the Lord. You know, so therefore trust in him and him only, you know, and worship him only. And the problem was they were replacing true temple worship with other things. Right? Pagan gods, things made with the hands of man. And so the saying this three times here is basically for us today, what would be similar is, you got some folks over here saying, no, come worship over here. What you guys do, it's boring. But we got exciting stuff over here. Let me tell you, we got a rock band. It's exciting. We got a fog machine. We get up and we dance around. There's lights. There's music. There's drama. There's some. You know, we got a coffee bar out in the foyer. You'll love it. Right. So that would be similar to this, right? You know, drawing God's people away for something exciting over here. And that's tempting. That can be tempting, right? If you don't trust in the Lord. And he's really speaking to the heart of idolatry. And really think about it. How often do we choose something other than worshiping God? Right? If we're choosing other things, right, we will not trust God. That trust is going to be gone like that. And so in this, there's a warning. Right? Don't trust in those things. And just one example here. We'll go to our fourth point. I want you to think about Cain. Right? As you open up your Bible, we're introduced to creation and answer that question who our Creator is. Chapter 2, we're introduced to humanity, to the institution of marriage. Chapter 3, we're introduced to sin. Right? We didn't do very well that day. Sin entered the world. We're introduced to our enemy. The very next thing that God introduces us to is proper worship. And you see that word acceptable there. Right, and that's a wonderful theme you actually see throughout your entire Bible. Right, what's acceptable to God? Leviticus chapter 1, give the New Testament. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. It's all about what's acceptable to God. So Abel brings what is acceptable to God. God said it, he brought it there. But Cain, what does he do? He brings what's acceptable to his own eyes. Look how beautiful this fruit, these vegetables is. You know, look how beautiful it is. It looks good to me, so surely it's got to look good to God. And therein lies the problem. People trying to bring before God what's acceptable in their own eyes instead of what saith the Lord. But what does God want? And so we get a very strong lesson in that. So how often do we trust in self or others other than God and fail to lift him up in worship? Number four here, trust involves looking forward to living with God. Right? 23rd Psalm. We all know that very well. Let's just look at verse 6. Now, this morning when I presided over the Lord's Supper, I read from Psalm 22, right? We all know that that passage very well. It gets into great detail concerning the crucifixion of Jesus. Right, so when I get to the 23rd Psalm, one of the most popular, well-known passages of the entire Bible, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Everybody knows that. And it's a wonderful, wonderful psalm, but what gives the 23rd Psalm power and meaning is the 22nd Psalm. Jesus is going to live and he's going to die for us, right? He's going to die in our law place on the cross. So when I get to the 23rd Psalm, I can know these things for sure. Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So trust involves looking forward to living with God, to look beyond the physical, to see the spiritual, right? I set my mind on things above, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. In Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Let's end this last point in our New Testament. Let's make some New Testament application here. All right, trust involves listening to God, leaning upon him, lifting him up in worship, and looking forward to living with him. In John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3, Jesus says, I'm going away. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I got to go away, but I'm coming back. I'm going to come back to receive you so that you can be where I am also. Right? That promise of him coming to get his own. And so if I'm trusting in God, I'm relying upon God, right, I'm listening to him, I'm leaning upon him, I'm worshiping properly, lifting him up, then I can look forward to being with Jesus. Right? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 2 Peter, the third chapter. Read just a little bit here with me, and we'll have our conclusion. 2 Peter, chapter 3, we were talking about this in our Bible class this morning. And if you remember, the easy way to remember the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 is the right story. Chapter 2 is the wrong story. Chapter 3, be careful what story you listen to, because Jesus is coming back. He even talks about in this chapter here, you know, there's mockers. They're out there. He hadn't come back yet. So, you know, why are you worrying yourself with this Jesus stuff, basically? And in that, we get a warning. Be careful what story you listen to. Jesus is coming back. All right, so we tie that into our theme for the year. We tie that into these four main points here. What story are you listening to? Will you trust God? And will you obey God? Because that's faith. Trust and obedience is faith. Will you trust God? Jesus, he's absolutely coming back. Read a couple verses here with me. Beginning in verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him in repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things, verse 11, will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? We need to prepare ourselves for eternity. We can't become paralyzed, stuck in spiritual learned helplessness, right? Trust in the Lord's the only answer. And then being obedient to him. That's the only answer. And so then we therefore know and live that fact that trust involves listening to God, right? Leaning upon him. Don't try to lean upon self. Trust involves lifting up our God in worship, true worship, in spirit and in truth. And trust involves looking forward to living with our God, spiritual vision, to see beyond the physical. So the question is here, as we offer the Lord's invitation, have you fully trusted in the Lord? What can we do to help you if you haven't? And so we turn to the Word of God when the Lord is telling us how we respond. How we trust and how we obey. Right? We have to put on Christ in baptism. That's what removes those past sins. To be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have to do that. Reenact his death, burial, resurrection, and baptism. And we do that because we have a response of faith. I love God. I believe in Jesus. I'm willing to repent of my sins. I'm willing to confess him before men. Give me that water. I get to be a new creature in Christ. And so if you haven't done that, that's the plea for you. That's the beginning of trust. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've fallen away. Maybe you got caught in that dangerous loop of a spiritual learned helplessness. Well, let's get you back right with God, help you get reconciled to God, and do whatever it is you might need. So if you have any need spiritually this evening, please let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.